A very good evening and welcome once again to Terrace Talk. Tim Einan here tonight, sitting in for the great Ivan Hurley. Ivan is on a journey to Athlone. Of course, Kerry FC are playing Athlone, looking for points along the road to see as they prepare for their FA Cup semi-final in just under 2 weeks' time now. On tonight's show, we'll have our regular contributors, the old reliables we'll call them, both John Kennedy and Liam Brosnan. We'll be speaking to Andrew Moynihan as well later on the phone. I suppose the county championship the past weekend, likewise the junior final as well, where Tarbert had a victory over their rivals Bale in that competition. Been knocking on the door with a couple of years. Well, they under tough conditions, testing conditions at Ossenstack Park on Saturday evening, they won that. And we'll also look tonight in relation to club. Has the club surpassed the county championship as far as an attraction? Because the numbers seem to be down this weekend. Two one-sided games we watched. But just there for you listeners out there, what do you think? Because we see the crowds at the club games. I know there's a number of mediums of communication nowadays and access through other mediums. You can watch the game at home, listen to the game at home. Has that taken away from that prestige? Prestigious competition, winning the Bishop Moynihan Cup even. Also on tonight, we'll be speaking to a man who's plying his trade now back west with Ungoyalthucht, and that is Aidan Walsh, the former Dual player. Of course, gave Kerry a pretty tough time in football games, played hurling as well with Cork, and looking forward to that chat just after seven with Aidan, where just over a week ago he won an intermediate championship final, and he rolled back the years with a solid performance in Ossenstack Park. As well tonight, there's a big game coming up in Croke Park at the end of September, the 28th of September, in the NFL. They're looking for, global acknowledgement, for want of a better word. And we'll have a former NFL star on. That'll be interesting. And I know they're probably around Killarney in different counties trying to spread the word about the big game in the States. And so there's so much access now with social media and what have you. And of course, our own Paddy Clifford here is a huge fan of the NFL, as we've seen over the last couple of years. And even his game in that All-Ireland final was more like a quarterback in American terms, just standing outside the 45, just pinging those passes. And that's kind of part of a quarterback's play. So I'm looking forward to that. Max Starks will be speaking to us around 25 past 7. If you want to contact us tonight, you can phone us on 066-71-23666, WhatsApp or text 083-300-3300. And, well, with your views, if you've been to any sporting event the weekend, if you've been to those games, please contact us tonight. I'm delighted. I've given a mention already, Liam Brosnan and John Kennedy. You're very welcome, lads, once again to Terrace Talk.
Thanks, Tim.
Before we go into the county championship, I want to just mention, and I know we've lots of listeners out there that love their clubs, obviously, and love their club going on into the series, into the business end. And I know a number of players involved in different clubs that have been trying, knocking on the doors for the last couple of years, trying to get to the promised land. And I suppose there's a link what I'm going to say about the county championship after. John, can I start with you? I know I'm going to jump into something here now straight away, because we're going to lose it otherwise. The club championship was entertaining in all grades. The senior club championship, likewise the intermediate and the junior premier. And we had that great victory by Tarbert, who'd been knocking on the door over over the last 2 or 3 years. But I asked yourself and Liam the weekend to go and find me, not find me, but give me players that have put up their hand. Because every time we go into county championship, we seem to be saying, oh, this is a feeder for players to go into Kerry. But I thought this year of all years, and it's a great time to be involved in Kerry football because of winning an All-Ireland, I think players have put up their hand in the club championship. I've asked you for how many players you give me each, or have you a number of players?
I think we picked out 9, John, altogether.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. There's one or two of them that are on the verge of the panel already.
Yeah, and these are, for our listeners out there, these are players that I've asked the lads that maybe Jack O'Connor and his management team might take a look. It's not we telling the Kerry management what to do, but players that impressed us, and it's great to see. John, are you going to give me a few of them?
Yeah, I suppose, Tim,
these are guys that we feel maybe they've been involved, some of them have been underage level already in that, but some of them have been in the extended squad, and we'll say Paul O'Shea from Kilcommon. He's after having a great campaign with Kilcommon, and he continued it on yesterday with East Kerry. Kieran Collins, you know, he was very impressive for Rathmore, a target man, a go-to man, getting vital scores. Killian Dinhy, you know, he's an up-and-coming young fella as well with fierce ability. They are just three, maybe, Liam, you want to kick off with a few more?
Yeah, I suppose a guy that really kind of stood out for me this year, a Legion man, and played very well again yesterday, and that's Dara Lyne. You know, powerful running, big, strong men. You know, so he's a guy I think that will get a bit of field time on the green and gold this year at the start. Then you have the Tomás Kennedy. We saw him as well yesterday. Big young fella. Just as well documented, did his leaving just before the game, and you know, came on the following day and kicked a pint. And I just think he is a prospect. I suppose the next guy is a guy who had a fantastic game again the weekend. Tim, you were out with West Kerry, Carlo Begley, you know, strong young fella, has been inside as well. You know, in the verges of the Kerry squad. Then you have Killian Trent. Yeah. Had a great year with Saint Sennans as well, you know. So and Rory Murphy
is a guy who has been in there and got injuries and stuff, but seems to have a clear run now. You know, he's been impressive. Rob Stack from Beale is another guy that you know, he's been very consistent, and we're talking about guys at the level that can be looked at, and that they may or may not, because there's I suppose the senior players, the guys on the 26, they're really, we've said here a few years ago, you go to a game and you mightn't pick out the county man, but I can tell you you pick out the county man this year.
Yeah.
In every game, they're led by example. And the guys that were inside, you can see, like Liam said there, Killian Trent, you can see how he has learned from it. Another player is Eddie Healy from Listowel Limits, a guy with huge potential as well.
And did we stumble on this scenario by accident? Why I asked that question, I take Mark O'Shea of Dr. Crokes. Me, with the last number of years, I've mentioned him on programmes. I've mentioned him.
Been preaching about him, yeah.
And preaching about him. And we didn't want to see any Kerry player injured, but unfortunately, it's a physical game. We did get players injured, and especially down that game down in Cork. But Mark O'Shea, we couldn't see his ability yet in the county level, but for that opportunity.
And probably you put Sean O'Brien into that bracket.
And Sean
well.
O'Brien as well.
Yeah, yeah. Because, so we have the players, Tim.
Yeah, and because every, and what annoys me with years that, and we've said it here probably in Terrace Talk at times, it's the same players all the time. Yeah. And that's what we keep on saying. But, and that's why it kind of leads me on, and brilliant, and I'm sure our listeners out there will have an opinion, and those maybe add names themselves.
Of course, yeah.
But these are, and I have to, one player there that you mentioned, the man from Rathmore, Kieran. I thought he was absolutely, I covered 3-4 Rathmore games this year, and he plays the 4. Yeah. He's got class, he can score.
He's balanced.
He's not afraid. Balance.
Both feet, as in
balance of both feet, and he can score. So I know being involved with the under-20s, and but he's a player that straight away, Killian Dinhy, we'd have, Liam, you and I, you'd have worked very close with him.
Yeah. And I suppose, Tim, we always heard about Killian Dinhy, but until we kind of went close to him, we saw his ability. Yeah. No, he's not the finished product yet.
Oh, no. The guy has to
learn
and he has to do his leaving.
Yeah.
He's still a young guy.
He's doing his leaving next year, and I suppose maybe Kerry management might be hold back on that side, because it's so important, your education, and, you know, to go forward for to uni and what have you. But it's great that we're mentioning players like that.
You mentioned Kieran Collins. What I like about him as a forward, you know, he gets the ball. His first thing is to take on the man and go by him.
Yeah.
And if there's half a chance of a goal, he goes for it. He mightn't get him. He mightn't score all the time, but that's what you like in a forward. And you know, when I see forwards in there and they winning the ball and giving it back, when you see a guy taking on his direct opponent and going by him, that's, you know, you have something then. And I think there's a lot of raw material there, but it's a big step up. But certainly, I think we could see a lot of these guys involved for the National League campaign.
A big step up, but you need the chance. Like, if you look, we'll use Mark O'Shea as a typical example. He got his chance, did very well in the first game, but the meat game then. there was question marks being thrown about him again.
And he was the first guy.
And he was the first.
To.
And we said it here the Monday night after that it would be great if Jack could let the starting team go out again the following week, and just because we knew they were better than what they were. And Mark got his chance again the following week by accident because Dermot picked up the injury in the hot ball. So if Dermot stayed on the field, Mark O'Shea mightn't have been. You know, so you need that little bit of luck, you know, and when you get the chance, you've got to be able to take it.
And when a fella gets a second chance, Tim, you know, when he came on, obviously he wasn't the only one that didn't perform against Keith.
Exactly.
You
right.
know, but he got his chance early in the game. It was a great opportunity. It wasn't a token effort with 10 minutes to go. He came in, made his mark, and the rest is history. He had a fantastic campaign. We saw him with Dr. Crokes in the games in the club championship. He's gone from strength to strength every week.
And lads, that cues me up nicely because, and that's why I say the club is worthy of its status in the sense that you could maybe play 3 or 4 games with your club. You're playing probably a lot more with your club in the club championship than you play in county championship. Would that be fair?
You would,
the
way
the system is going.
Exactly,
because you look next week, North Kerry or one of those teams will be out of it after 2 games. So have we to put more onus in the future on clubs, as in to be looking at the clubs, what players are coming through? Because I'm not saying they were neglected even over the years, but we're seeing players now at club and they're putting their hand up, they're marking the best guys in the other club, and it's going back to where players went in the gate first day. And that's where we're looking at. Is that fair to say?
Oh, there's no... And I think, you know, Sean Kelly brought it in that he was president when it was passed that the winners would go to provincial and they'd end up in Croke Park. That's a huge carrot.
For every club
in the country. But in Kerry, we see ourselves as having a great opportunity. You know, the Gaeltacht and Ballymac guys, you know, they mightn't say it out loud, but they have a vision coming out of Munster and getting to Croke Park. That's the big day in any player's career, is to play in Croke Park. Winning is a bonus, but you get into Croke Park and play. But can you imagine going in with your club? The guys you grew up with, you're getting a chance of going in there. I think it's the emphasis is back on clubs now. I think the support base is there. We can see it over the last number of weeks. The huge crowds that are going in, the pride in the parish, the colours, young and old going to see their local lads playing.
And Liam, that leads me on nicely now. Is there, and it's not like us to, you know, to go to one side and say this is happening, but we know what's happening in the club and the club championship. It's so competitive, that tribalism, the support is coming. County championship, now, first of all, the crowd's very small the weekend. Now, yesterday was a beautiful day, fabulous, and we reflected it on numerous occasions during the commentary. Very small crowd, you look over the stand. I don't know what the official attendance was yesterday, but you had huge catchment areas playing, like the catchment area of St. Kieran's, the catchment area East Kerry, likewise
Meath-Kerry.
The game before, Meath-Kerry and St. Brendan's. And you'd say, why aren't... Because there was a chance yesterday, well, next weekend,
I think it's
those teams.
Yeah.
Well, two of those teams will be gone out of the competition.
Yeah. I think next weekend, Tim, you'll probably see an increase in it because there's jeopardy in it. No, I think this weekend there weren't a whole pile of jeopardy in it.
But like David Clifford, they're saying he's a drawing power.
Yeah.
Now, anybody, you know, there's people that come from up the country, be it Carlo, be it any, probably Kilkenny if they follow football, come down to see David Clifford. The point I'm making is, if that was a club game, you'd have seen a lot more yesterday.
Yeah, I suppose you take into consideration, we've seen David Clifford for the last 6 or 7 weeks and the clubs as well. So cost will come into it, obviously, Tim. You know, families going in, and you know, the neutral families going in to watch the games yesterday to go to see David Clifford. They probably were at the final two weeks ago, so they wouldn't...
The Bishop Mining Cup is a fabulous, and we see it, the team, like there's guys that probably won All-Ireland, they'd probably swap in All-Ireland to win a county championship.
Yeah, Charlie Nelligan always said it.
Because you wanted to be, you know, the bragging rights. And what my point, not about winning the cup or the prestigious competition, has it lost its standing compared to the club competition? Because, as John Kennedy just alluded to it, the Croke Park carrot has been dangled. It hasn't the status that it had 10, 15 years ago.
Well, I suppose it's attitude, Tim. Like, you go in and you put that question to the Crokes, put it on the table, they'll have a different answer for you. They have serious respect.
I know every team in the
country. It's down to the players themselves. I know the club season is so long now.
This is not players. Yeah. This is not players I'm talking about. I'm talking about the attraction of games for the audience, for the supporters.
But Tim, you look at it now on the other side, like as a supporter, they had a long campaign with Kerry, getting to Croke Park. Huge crowds came out on the Monday night in Tralee and Killarney to greet the, which was proper.
2 weeks later.
The club championship started 2 weeks later, continued on, big crowds at all those. And then you finished last weekend with the intermediate and with the senior club final, and you're back into first round of county championship. Like Liam said, these were dead rubber games in a way, because there was no loser. The losers are out next weekend. So it wasn't the cut and thrust of knockout football. But look at West Kerry. 9 of them Gaeltacht players tugged out yesterday. Yeah. 6 days after winning an intermediate county championship.
Unheard of.
Gabriel O'Cossig, the great Lisboa man, he spoke about the attitude of an Gaeltacht to tug out. That's the other side of it.
Oh, of course, and there's a huge positive. You're playing against the best players. Yeah. But my question was, and with the last couple of years, you're not getting the crowd, lads, until the semi-final. But in the early rounds of the club, you were getting numbers. Now, there's a number...
Now, the club is a tribal thing. Your neighbours, everyone's going to come out for that.
But you go back, and you have to go back. When I was young, I'd come in from... not Nagashal, or come in from the Castle Island area, and I'd be coming in to see all the players in stacks. You'd have 5 or 6 and they're on the Kerry team. Go to Kinmare, you'd see the Spillanes were playing. All the teams around the county, you'd the Bomber, Ogie from Bale, when Bale were senior, Rosie, the old soldier that I soldier beside, coming in. The place would be, but it was knockout then.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is that if it goes on year, is it losing? Is it losing its status? It's not losing its status with players, don't get me wrong.
But they're the guys that are going to keep it going. You know, you have to have the attitude, like the Gaeltacht boys, to go out and put on the jerseys. Same with the Crokes boys. Now, we heard stories down with the past number of years where players wouldn't play in the county championship because for one reason or another. Like, I always thought the county championship was where you want to be seen to be playing. It was your bit...
But that's what I've led you into this, that I'm saying the club now, I gave you your project, you came back with players in the club, and those club players are presenting players to the county.
Yeah, but if you pick out them players there, I know some of them weren't playing, but the guys that played the weekend stood out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Out with their districts as well. So it's
Like you said, the club is a tribalism. But it's something for our listeners out there. What do you think? We love our county championship. It's a fabulous cup to have on the mantelpiece for the winter, the Bishop Mining Cup. It's served us well for Kerry captains. But it's just that I think the opening of the doors of Croke Park have changed. I won't say the status of the county championship, but it's increased the status of the club. Would that be fair?
Has. And I think, Tim, the split season as well has just pushed everything into a ball, John, hasn't it?
It has, yeah.
And it just has, you're out week in, week out, and the supporters are out week in and week out, and they can't.
It's getting more difficult for the players, Tim, to be fair. Like, you know, the inter-county player in particular, they're going since, look at it since the end of July, since they won the Ireland. Look at the effort those guys have put in. Continued on again yesterday. And some of the top players will be playing right through to the final, semi-final or final.
And that's
a huge commitment.
Well, that's what you suffer if your club is successful.
Yeah.
You know, and you want your county players and the patrons going in the gate want to see their county players as well. Now we finish with that. We'll take a break and we'll come back and we'll speak about obviously the Tarbert game and versus Bale and our county championship games. We'll take the first break of the evening.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
You're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. Tim Oidhin sitting in for Ivan Horley this evening. And those texts coming through to us, and I'm going to our producer of the show, that great producer, the girl from Blenheville, Niamh Daly. Niamh, we're getting some comments in already re our discussion about club championship and county championship.
Yes, we are indeed. So a listener texts in, Donal from South Kerry, and he says, county board, they must get with the times and get rid of the county championship. Our players are being burnt out also. The only county in Ireland doing this, zero interest. County championship has been finished since 2017. So thoughts on that, Tim?
What, you've heard that, lads? You have the headphones?
Yeah, look, but that's easier said than done. What do you do with districts, Tim? Do you just throw them out like dirty water?
That, No, and look, that's for another day. We've heard in recent times like how difficult it was for the county players. Again, they'll be involved in the district championship. So I always say I'll go back to the clubs and the people that built those districts. That has to stand. I know it's, like you say, it's easier said than done. John?
Yeah, I agree, Tim. I've said this a few times, Tim, you know, as regards the review of the championship. I was involved 2 years ago.
So we blame you, John.
Under Terence Holton. No, there was a new group since. And I'll be honest with you, I was of the impression too, you know, even though I was involved with teams and that and involved at home with SD, sure, they could change this and change that and you could play it at such a time. But there's a shop window to play the games. There's no room for manoeuvre, really. And we can see the Kerry team going on their well-deserved holiday this year. The final is brought forward a week. So you're talking about 6 weeks in a row the Senior County Championship is going to be on. Now, it's very easy to get rid of it, but can you sell that to the East Kerrys who've been so successful in another year of South Kerry were? You know, Dr. Crokes. These teams, they take it very seriously. And sometimes there's a lack of interest, maybe, or a difficulty to get teams together at divisional level. But like we saw yesterday, and we'll speak about it later on, or Saturday, West Kerry, the way they're after putting a great management team in place, very disappointed that they didn't win a game since, whatever, five or six years.
6 years, yeah.
But they're back and they won their first round game. And they're obviously looking forward to it. And that's with Ungaeltacht lads who were successful last week. So it's has it lost its appeal? Supporter-wise, as you said previously, I think when we come to the semi-finals, you'll have big crowds in Fitzgerald Stadium or Aston Stack Park. But the earlier rounds, when there's a back door, I don't think it has that appeal.
Maybe you're now a TV personality as well, John. You're probably keeping people at home in their couches.
I wouldn't say that, Tim.
No, you're a big name. Ambrose was saying yesterday, he was touting it around. And before I go back to yourself and Liam, I've Andrew Moynihan, our regular contributor here on Terrorist Talk. Good evening, Andrew.
Evening, Tim and lads. How are you all?
How's college life? Good.
College life, yeah, fantastic. But missing the studio now with all the lads this evening, the usual crack.
Andrew, you probably got part of our discussion there. We were just saying the club versus, it's not the club versus the county championship, but we've seen that there was such tribalism, such decent numbers of crowds, some lovely football played in it. And we picked out a few footballers as well that we said, look, from the club championship, that we reckon that Jack O'Connor's management team might have a look at. Has anyone impressed you to date?
Yeah, and I was listening earlier. Obviously, Liam and John mentioned lads like Paul O'Shea, Darragh Lyon, Cathal O'Bioghlaíoch, and even, you know, over the weekend, I know Ronan Collins from Gwynedd played in midfield. He was quite impressive. And I suppose my namesake, Andrew Moynihan, I'll have to mention him. I think he had another superb year for Rathmore. I think he might have picked up a knock near the end of the intermediate senior campaign, but I'm not sure of his situation. But I think he's a fella now. He's played minor and under 24. Kerry, he's been very impressive and has that kind of build of an intercounty player too. Another player, I'm not sure if he was mentioned, Aidan O'Bioghlaíoch, young man from Ungaeltacht, kicked some superb points in that final against Fossa. He's played at underage level for Kerry as well, another very impressive player. You know, some under the radar players, but you know, as they say, like, you have to test out these players to see what they're like. Keane O'Grady for West Kerry at the weekend, quite impressive, and I remember seeing him in a West Kerry final for Castle Gregory last year, very much took over the game for them and brought Dingle really to the last couple of minutes of that game before Dingle shoved on for the win. And maybe, you know, I look at one or two more. Darragh Fleming, he's tipping away and he's starting for East Kerry this year. Legion man Darragh Fleming, doing quite well for himself. I think got man of the match in a knockout stage of the intermediate campaign, so he's a proven player for Legion at this stage. And Paddy O'Leary as well has had trouble with injury, another player for Gwynedd. They seem to have a number of just solid players, and he's just one of them who can definitely break through the lines, and obviously involved with the Kerry panel over the last couple of years, so he's probably one to keep an eye out for.
And Andrew, it's great that we're speaking about these players, and that's what, since, you know, they came off the All-Ireland victory, Kerry, and, you know, when back, players are motivated. The players that don't make the senior county are motivated by the men that won in All-Ireland for us, and going in shoulder to shoulder trying to win a game. Your thoughts, would you concur with the lads in relation to the county championship? It's very difficult to get crowds, I suppose, early on. And, you know, we see yesterday mm-hmm. the games might be a bit flat in Ossistack Park, that you have to go almost to the business inn to get, I suppose, traction.
Yeah, it's the million-dollar question about the county championship that seems to be coming up over the last couple of years, really kind of since the split season has taken a hold and the club championship seems to have been brought to a whole new level. I mean, I think we're all just loving how the intermediate championship maybe in particular just went by too quick. Every game just seemed to be absolutely box office. As for the county championship, look, it's one of those things where you can look at both sides. I agree with both your arguments and Liam and John's arguments that there is benefits to this. I mean, obviously you think of the great players that have come through their divisional sides. I suppose most recently in Paddy Clifford for East Kerry, his performances in county championships really solidified his place in the Kerry panel. At that same time though, is the club championship doing enough now that we have, you know, we have of course Radio Kerry, we've Clubber, we've so much coverage of these games that, you know, players are standing out in all grades of the game. As well as that, you know, the crowds yesterday, obviously very I suppose disappointing, just the small crowds across the weekend. Is there a need just to go straight knockout and not do a backdoor? Would that bring in more crowds? Obviously it was all divisional sides playing each other this weekend, so that interest maybe isn't as high from a spectator standpoint. But from a player standpoint, as John and Liam mentioned, was it six or nine players from Gaeltacht lined out at the weekend?
Yeah, it was unreal.
Unreal stuff. And that just shows, you know, and they get their first win in 6 years. The love from the players is still there for the county championship. That's evident in certain divisions, obviously. But I think in terms of how the competition is laid out, that'll have to be looked at, because I think we all have a bit of football burnout at the minute.
Before I let you go, Andrew, are you going to give me the winner of the county championship? Who was all the division? You can't really judge it from this weekend, but are you going back to a club side, or are you going to, you're from a divisional side now, so you have to watch what you say here, Andrew.
Yeah, watch a target on my back. But look, East Kerry, I mean, 14 out of 15 East Kerry starting 15 yesterday have played for Kerry at some level. David Clifford, a goal and 5 points, that's massive. And his cousin Paul O'Shea, 6 points as well. It was just a different level of opposition for St. Kieran's. But I think when it boils down to it, and when push comes to shove, it's the old saying goes, it's hard to look past the Crokes. I think they'll be thereabouts once again. Obviously, we get to see what Dingle will bring. There's a few talks maybe Dingle are pushing for this county championship this year as their best route to get out of Kerry. We'll have to see what they can produce, because obviously when they have their full team together, they are an absolutely serious opposition to be up against. But I'm probably just going to lean towards Dr. Crokes once again to do the double like again last year, back to back.
Yeah, I wonder what they think of that now around Glenflesk and Fieries and all those areas. We'll have to wait and see. Andrew, we'll let you go. Enjoy. Go do a bit of study for an hour or two and go out then for a little walk.
Yeah, a little walk. That can be done. That's
all
perfect.
Right. Thanks a million. Great chatting to you. That's Andrew Moynihan, of course. And anytime we talk about Andrew, of course, he's uncle, Captain Kerry, and he comes from a divisional side. That's Seamus Moynihan. Lads, straight down to what's happened the weekend. Can we start with the Tarbert Bale game? Tarbert knocking on the door with a few years. Tough conditions, and they got over the line.
Yeah, they did, Tim. And as you said, Renard 2 years ago, Dewar last year on a great night out in Sheehy Park in Listowel, they came up second best. On the form of the two semi-finals, Bale had a very impressive win over Cordell going into the final. That was a good scalp to have, and in spite of Philip O'Connor's absence. But another derby between Tarbert and Myvan. So it was really set up for it. It was nip and tuck. And at the end of the day, I suppose, you know, from a Tarbert point of view, the likes of Sean Ryan kicking 9 points, John Colhan 1-1, the performance of Shane Enright carrying an injury, got a vital goal. But his leadership qualities throughout, I thought he was his experience was invaluable to the young lads around him.
John, they said that Shane Enright was like a man possessed this year. Dry, he came back, maybe he could have walked away from football. He's a busy man. he came back, and it's amazing. They all rallied around him.
Yeah, and he's Shane. I spoke to him a few weeks ago. You know, he when he aggravated that injury, and he was just saying he hadn't won a county probably 17 or 18 years playing with Talbot. His brother Kevin, Danny Wren, another Warrior, and Michael Normile, who came on. A great day for Talbot. You know, Bale will be disappointed. They were there or thereabouts. They had chances. They didn't take them. But you know, in the likes of Young Dahi, Keane Terrell, Rob Stack, you know, the Toomies, Diarmaid Mahoney, they have plenty of ability, and they will be back. There's no question about it. But just on the day, they came up second best, and they'd be disappointed because there was a few chances that they didn't take.
Liam, you from our own district outside, there's a few clubs that are trying their heart out with the last number of years, and they get, and it's like they're always talking about the Tarvers of this world, yeah, the Bales, the My Vans, just to get to the promised land. It's so, it's like being in a division, there's a quagmire. It's very hard to get out of it. It's very hard to win it. This. Yeah. And it means so much, no different, we can call it the novice or and the junior. Yeah. It means so much to be playing in your own category and to win it.
You look at all the categories this year, Tim. The senior, probably Crokes were favourites, they won it. The only one that probably put a spanner in the works, maybe a small bit, was the Gaeltacht, because Ballymac were favourites to win the junior premier, and Tarbert were favourites to win. So if Bale can take a leaf out of the Tarbert book, you know, they're young, John. Yeah. No, they have a young team there. The Tarbert, this is their third final in a row. No, they've no more, just like Ballymac last weekend. No, I suppose they might have to lose in Kerry a small bit before we can win, because any competition in Kerry is a hard one to win at any level.
Like the Cordals, the Knocks, the Scarts,
yeah, that, yeah.
They're knocking on the door for, yeah, it.
Particularly, Tim, that was in our Kerry derby.
Yeah.
They take a life of their own.
Yeah.
Like Barry O'Neill was outstanding throughout the campaign for those as well. He had a fierce campaign for Bale. But those games, if you had an our Kerry team playing a South Kerry team, you don't play too often. It's different. But when tis real tribal, your neighbours you're playing, and that adds to it. Yeah. But what a great occasion, and a big crowd in Nussensack Park on Saturday.
And you're looking at Sean Ryan there, he kicked 1-8 in the semi-final and kicked 9 points.
And you see, Saturday, you go back to it again, the backbone of that Tarbert team was the comprehensive team that won the All-Ireland.
Yeah, true.
Paddy Finucane and all these guys, yeah, you know, they have the young David Mulville, he was outstanding on the night for them. He's surging runs. So it's all about where you start.
And we're spotting those players as well. Just to say, if you go to the business end of that, they'll say, we're playing Bale. Oh, they have Rob Stack, and no different to other players that are playing well for Tarbert. And that's how they're seen. We'll move on to our game on Saturday evening. That game was played back in Killorglin. It was the first round of the county championship. It was all division sides out this weekend. South Kerry versus West Kerry, Liam.
Yeah. First victory in 6 years, like we said before, Tim. I suppose, look, South Kerry really were, I suppose there wasn't much between these two teams. No, you said it yourself, it was probably the best game of the weekend. And it shows that, you know, South Kerry, and we've said it here, John, last couple of years, they went with Youth, was it 2 or 3 years ago? And you can see it's starting to pay off now for them. They're starting to build. I think West Kerry, backed by Gaeltacht, Saturday evening when you look at it, you'll be wondering what kind of a West Kerry team would field when you look at the last couple of years that West Kerry
and it took them, it was like dirty petrol. It took them a while to
get into it,
clear out, but they did. Yeah. The only thing, South Kerry, to be fair to them, they started without Graham O'Sullivan, which is a huge loss, because the lads had Breno Buckley on the other side, you know, driving the team forward.
And they were leading up to 5 minutes.
Yes, I think South Kerry, John, will be kicking themselves. They had 2 goal opportunities.
Yeah.
One, definitely. They were queuing up to score, and sometimes that pass too much.
Kieran O'Sullivan's hen pass.
Pass, yeah.
Just went that
went
little
too
bit
much
too far, yeah.
Too much weight. And that could have, because I think what happened then, West Kerry went down and kicked a two-pointer. But the one thing, and you see, John, from the games you're doing, no different to you, Liam, that the things are standing out now, and I really noticed it on Saturday evening. They're watching the clock. There was a hooser in operation back in Killorglin. So if you were playing against the wind and you had possession, say midway through the half, I saw one or two players, they were taking a glance at the clock, saying, if we can kill another 2 minutes for the opposition not to get it, because they'd be kicking a two-pointer. And the other thing that stood out, in all these games we watched to date, you have to have an inside line out of the scores, because you're looking for those one-on-ones with defenders to take them on, because you can't be dependent on the scores coming from your midfielders or maybe your half-hour line or the backs coming up. Would that be right?
I agree totally with you. And Liam and myself were talking yesterday between the games, and that the new rules have really, they've speeded up the game. There's no such thing as putting the ball down for free anymore, no one waiting and a fella going back 20 yards to drive it up the field.
But they've shown up the footballers as well.
They've shown up the footballers as
Which is the big thing.
And the quality out the field to get that quality ball into the inside line, like you said, these guys, the guys that have it, they're punishing. And the quality footballers excelling, because the guy that's fouled around the middle of the field half back line now, he's hopping up straight away, tap and go, he's gone. There's no time to recover.
Yeah. So I'm going to jump back to the Tarbert game versus Bale. But Ian Blake wasn't playing, was he? Because he was down as a scorer.
Oh, Ian Mannix.
Oh, it was Ian Mannix. Yeah, because I was wondering, because that man is managing Ballymacallan. No, I wasn't covering the game. Liam, that puts them into the losers, I suppose, the losers round next weekend, and whoever comes out of that goes forward. It'll be difficult again for South Kerry to, you know, get their act together within a week, and because by tradition South Kerry are fabulous, as we said, county championship teams down through the years, a joy to watch with fabulous stars they give the Kerry team. But they'll have to regroup, reset.
They will, and I think it'll be easy for them, Tim, because like we just said, they were leading the game until up to the last 5 minutes. So they'll probably kick themselves a small bit. So they will improve. You know, district teams, the teams yesterday that went out as well, I think they get more of a feel of it yesterday. You know, and I think they'll be better next weekend. But I do think South Kerry are going to be, you know, they are a team that are improving, and they're playing Brendan's, and I think they'll be fair. I think in my book they'll be favourites for that next weekend.
Absolutely great stuff. Before we go to our next break, you can call us, of course, on 0667123666 or WhatsApp or text 083 300 3300. And after the break, we'll be getting more of those comments from Niamh Daly that are coming through our lines.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel Tralee.
You're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. The show is moving on quite swiftly tonight as we speak to Liam Brosnan and John Kennedy about the County Championship. And I'm going back to Niamh Daly once more. Niamh, we have some more messages by way of text and phone
indeed.
Calls. You might call them out for our listeners.
I shall. So Tom and Stella Enright were in touch, and they want to say a huge congratulations to an outstanding Tarbert team who were victorious over Beale by a minimum 1 point. Third time lucky, they say. Tarbert taboo, you made our weekend after a 30-year wait. So that's a really nice message coming in there. Mike, in terms of talking about players, standout players, Michael Horan, good footballers, a text came in with that. And then also, I can't believe that there was no mention of Sean O'Brien in the conversation after his wonderful contribution to Kerry this year. And that came in from Mike in Castle Gregory.
Yeah, we did mention Sean O'Brien, didn't we?
Yeah, but Sean O'Brien is after picking up an All-Ireland medal, so we were kind of...
We mentioned it straight away, so we didn't know. Before Sean O'Brien had a massive, massive year.
We were really talking about the fringe players.
And some of the players, I suppose, they've been in with Tomás O'Shea in the under-20s, the likes of the Kieran Collins and a few more of them, but we were saying like they're really standing up there at that age now where they're counting. So it's very easy to omit a player, but we didn't... I remember you saying it...
outside of the 25, you could say.
Yeah. Liam, the games yesterday, you were there with me for both of them. Our other man was busy on makeup stand before he went on TV.
Brushing his hair, I think.
Brushing his hair, yeah. Liam, the first game, St. Brendan's. One thing about St. Brendan's, and he was togged with them, was Rob Monaghan. Rob Monaghan is back, but he didn't play in, obviously, remember that time with Mark O'Connor, you need clearance, or that, maybe that was the, but, or maybe he was injured, Is there a possibility we could see him in the losers round next weekend?
You could, but I was talking to Menno today from that side, neck of the woods, and I don't think that they're going to sign the, he's after picking up another year contract.
Who are you talking to?
I'll have to do that hot to press. But I don't think you'll see him next weekend.
But
he's after getting an extended year contract, which is great for young fella.
Must be doing well. Hopefully we might be able to have a chat with him before he goes back. Liam, that game, St. Brendan's coming up against mid-Kerry side. And again, no different. Nice for you on the St. Brendan's side have worn the Kerry jersey at some level. But when you look through that mid-Kerry team, from start to finish. There are serious operators, and there are guys with, I suppose, huge experience and under the guidance. There's great guys involved, and Peter O'Sullivan, absolutely outstanding, his management team. They were always going to be a tough nut to crack.
They were, Tim, and they never got out of first gear, really. They were complete in control. The minute the ball was hopped, you could see they were a team and a bit of a mission. I suppose the first 5 or 10 minutes, Brendan's, I think they hit the Barry John Keane hit the crossbar and stuff like that. But Mick Kerry took over on the middle of the field, got comfortable defensively, and up front in they started picking off the holes in St Brendan's and kicking off the scores. So it was a long day for St Brendan's, to be fair,
and a good spread of scoring by Mick Kerry as well.
Very good spread. But if you look at the players, Tim, that Mick Kerry have, and we're back to our districts debate again, like Beaufort, Long Rangers, Keel, Glenbey, they're all playing intermediate football.
Yeah.
They're playing a high grade of football. So all these guys are very comfortable, and they're very, you could say, when they come together then, I think the weekend will stand them. They'll get better as this competition goes on.
That's interesting. A very interesting point there, John, by Liam, that he said they're playing at a higher level, no different to the guys playing senior club or probably playing at a higher level again. Is that an issue with some of the districts that you might, unlucky is not the word, but you could be from a district where you're playing, with all due respects, maybe Division 4, Division 5, playing at a junior level, and you're going in then against, no different to these players that are playing at a higher level.
It takes time to adjust him to the pace of the game, but Mid Kerry are a team that are, they've been there or thereabouts for the last number of years. They've been so unlucky. They came up against a very good East Kerry team in a couple of years and ran them so close. But you look at, Mike Breen, centre-back yesterday, Sean O'Brien, midfield, Ronan Murphy. They were outstanding. But the half-hour line, I thought, Dara O'Connor, Garrod Hassett and Keith Evans. Their work rate was incredible. And Kieran Kennedy, he got man of the match inside. 5 points. Outstanding. Don't forget, Sean Broderick, the Brendan's keeper, made 4 top class saves in the first half to keep Brendan's a respectable score at half time. It could have been really out of sight.
I know we're coming in with little teasers, for want of a better word, from other games, but and as I said, under the new rules, one of them, John, was, you just mentioned there, Kieran Kennedy, full forwards now, and we said about Kieran Collins with Rat Moore. Full forwards, and we haven't seen it with years because you're saying they never got, they were, well, because of the blanket defences. Full forwards now, they're probably your main men as a target man inside to put a ball in front of them.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Under the new rules.
Under the new rules, and if you have good quality ball going in, that Mid Kerry full forward in yesterday, Jack O'Connor, Kieran Kennedy, Liam Carey. All 6 forwards scored from play. Darren Holan, Derek Cleary, and KLM Tihan came on, scored as well. That shows you the strength and depth that Mid Kerry have. Brendan's had a bad day at the office, but they have an opportunity next week again against South Kerry. But Mid Kerry, they're really consistent. The quality player they have. One downside, I think, for them was fullback Liam Evans went off with what looked like a leg injury. Hopefully for Liam, a very good player. Hopefully he's back soon.
Recovery.
But it didn't look good, and he going off, being honest.
But for Mid Kerry to be contenders, Tim, they need to have a forward line that can score. I thought that was their Achilles heel with the last number of years, even against East Kerry, and it was their finishing. When the pressure comes on, you have to have the forwards that can finish. Crokes have them. East Kerry have them. So if you want to be up there with these guys, you have to be able to finish.
And the other thing is, and we're caught out, and we probably saw it, a number of players in the second game were caught out with it as well. It's all about pace, Liam. Pace. Your half forward line have to have pace. Your full forward line have to be full of running, pulling players out of it. And we're seeing a lot of corner forwards now coming deep and isolating 2 forwards inside.
Yeah, and I think that's going back to our point, playing at a high division in the county leagues, because you get better exposure and better games and quicker paces. And you can see there East Kerry, with all the clubs that they have as well, and all the good footballers, they're all playing high divisions. Our own club, our own district, Tim, to be fair, we're punching above our weights a small bit, because you have, say, Curragh, Brusna, Cordell, Scart. They're not playing at a high division in the county leagues. So it will take 1 or 2 games for them to get up to the pace of the competition.
And that's probably letting a lot of teams. But Mick Kerry, well worth their win. They can have their 2 weeks break. Out again, St Brendan's next weekend, and they're a massive, I suppose, divisional side with huge tradition as well. Good men on the sideline, Mark Burke and all his well able to come. I think Tommy O'Sullivan is back there as well, isn't he? The former Blindavan man even, or St Pat's. And yeah, so they have the players as well. They have individual players. If they could combine well, they will give a game next weekend to South Kerry.
They will, but that's the key, is the combine. No, they have individuals, but can they gel together? Especially like South Kerry are a team that have been kind of gelling together with the last number of years. It's going to be a big ask for St Brendan's next weekend, I think. But like I said, they have the players, but can they gel in the space of a week? It's very hard to.
One of their standout players team yesterday, Jake Foley
cornerback, yeah.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Kicked 2 points and saved the goal on the line.
Saved the goal on the line.
Isn't that good? Like when a team is playing poorly, there's always some player standing out and you'd say, he's their best player today or whatever.
But what I've liked to have seen yesterday was, right, you have Tomas Kennedy. We know he's a young guy, but he's a big boy, and I made that mark too yesterday. You know, he's got really strong, he's big. But like, he was out around the middle of the field and he was out around the half forward line.
And what he was doing out there, a lot of players could, but he could cause huge problems.
If he was inside the full forward line. Yeah.
Like you used to say, John, one time, the bear in the square can cause huge problems. So it might be something interesting. We might be giving away the tactics of St Brendan's against South Kerry.
From Brendan's point of view, Tim, no Austin Stacks players because they're gone senior. David Moore and Tommy Welsh retired.
It's
a bit of a transition. Yeah. You know, and a number of injuries, number of guys missing. So they're a proud group out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They love their football, and let's hope it's an entertaining game next weekend. Moving on, John, to our second game. That was a curtain raiser yesterday, the St Brendan's versus Mead Kerry. St Kieran's up against, I suppose, which would be one of the favourites to win the Bishop Mining Cup.
Yeah, there's no doubt. We spoke about it yesterday, Liam and myself. You know, in spite of missing Paddy Clifford, Emmett O'Shea, Luke Crowley, you look through the lines, you look at the players they have, and you know, we're talking about up and coming players and players on the fringe. Darragh Lyon was outstanding yesterday. He took up the role of a playmaker in the absence of Paddy Clifford and relished in the role, like, being honest. And you know, Paul O'Shea inside, he ended up with six points. David will do what David does. Paddy Leary, you know, all these guys, Keane Gamble, you know, at the middle of the field, Ronan Buckley, Ronan Conn, like, they have so many good players.
Yeah.
And again, hurting maybe a little bit from last year, having been beaten, no management team in, you know, you can change the personnel, you can change, but the players are constant and they're there. And, you know, stopped them with Brian Kelly inside and goals, like, the experience he brings to it, you could see it with them. They don't do panic. Quality all over the field, and you know, the subs they brought on as well, the strength and depth of their panel, it was a foregone conclusion from early on.
Yeah.
But give credit to Kieran's, they were led, Adam Dunhu, you know, Sean O'Connor,
Isaac Brosnan,
Aidan Breen was very unlucky, they moved him in full forward, a few of the intended passes just went over his head. But you know, Michal Reedy, Niall Collins, these guys, they worked really hard, but just came up against a better team.
The difference, Tim, really, is the first 14 minutes, Kieran's had 1-4 missed.
Yeah. And the side of the field, they had 1-5.
And East Kerry had 1-5 and no wide. You know, so that's where, you know, I always found with the lower division teams, it takes a bit to get into it, but the game was gone out of reach by the time Kieran's got a bit of traction.
And I suppose how dominant they were, to be fair, towards the end of the game, East Kerry had 4 or 5 goal scoring opportunities. They fisted them over the bar.
But you have quality all over the field in that East Kerry.
And one man we must mention, he's been a great servant as well. I hope you don't mind me saying it, but I think he's 40 today.
Is that
goalkeeper Sean O'Keefe. But he's been a massive servant. But his kickouts yesterday.
His kickouts were hitting.
They were massive.
Both halves, they were hitting out around the 60 yard line either. Yeah. Fantastic
so
kickouts.
What can Kieran's do for next weekend, Liam? You know all the inside
of that game will have gelled Kieran's. I think you can't beat a bit of a championship to get you going. They will improve. There'll be a few subs that they brought on as well. I think you'll probably see them starting. You'll see a stronger Kieran's team. But it'll be one hell of a battle against North Kerry. No one knows what North Kerry are going to bring
to
the table.
One of your favourite players in the district, Killian Dinehy, will he start?
Oh, he'll have to start Killian Dinehy, yeah, without a doubt. Because he's a bright young talent, and there's a couple of very young players there. Jack Sullivan, Isaac Brosnan.
And Jack Mack. They'll all learn from
Kieran's are, as we know, they have two minor championships won. We were unlucky in an under-21 championship. You know, so they have the players, they're young. But it'd be nice if we can.
Are you staying on next year for the under-21 championship?
We'd have to sit down to him about it and talk about that.
Ryan Leonard and Luca Brost and Jack McKilligott, they never give up yesterday.
No.
We're surging forward.
That's one thing. And I've been
on a beaten team now, and that's very impressive.
Yeah.
And then you add in another ingredient for next week. Yeah. Jimmy Keane is manager of North Kerry. He's coming up against his Brost and teammates. Yeah. It'll be an interesting game next weekend.
That's the one thing with a Kieran's player. He'll never give up, to be fair to him.
Yeah. And you mentioned Jack Mack. I know the boy and his family well. His dad, Sean, and actually he's, to best of my knowledge, first cousin of Rob Stack. So football in the blood there. But Jack, and we've involved with under 21, he's the heart of a lion. So very interesting next weekend. And after the break, we'll be speaking to Aidan Walsh as well. Lad, you're staying on with me as well. So we might throw a few questions at Aidan Walsh, the Kentork man, the dual player. That's all coming after this break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
You're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. Both John Kennedy and Liam Brosnan have stayed with us. And coming up in a moment or two, we will be speaking to the great Corkman, that is Aidan Walsh. But before that, Niamh, we have some more comments coming through to our show this evening.
We sure do. So a listener says, "Hi lads, club championship is generally hard to predict winners in most games. The pride of the parish and teams playing teams on their same level. County championship realistically is looking like it will be either Dr. Crokes or East Kerry that will win the competition, as they are both a level ahead of the rest of the pack, so it's easier to foresee the winners in most games, and then possibly why the crowds are smaller at the county championship games but usually rise when we reach semi-final stages." So that's one text that came in. Another East Kerry listener says, "Credit must be given to the two referees in Tralee yesterday, particularly the referee in the second game, who left the game flow and talked the players on every decision made." And then one final one, Ryan O'Grady, Legion, joint third top scorer in all championships 2025 in Kerry. Should he come into the radar for Jack?
Yeah, and I suppose the whole point of we having this discussion tonight was, we all see the game differently, we all see players differently, and it's brilliant that we're talking about such a pool of talent. And that leads me nicely on to my next man on the phone line, and talk about a pool of talent. We didn't think we'd go outside Kerry for it, but we did, for the great Aidan Walsh. Good evening, Aidan.
Hi, lads. How are you? How are things?
Good. I've John Kennedy and Liam Brosnan in studio, regular contributors. You know those men. Aidan, first of all, congratulations on winning your intermediate championship here in Kerry with your adopted club. Can I first ask you, you've been a dual player, outstanding player for Cork, and caused us a few headaches a number of times inside those white lines in the game of football and hurling. You're a dual player, and can I first ask you, what's your first love? Or would that be
I get asked a lot, but I suppose I probably naturally better at football. I would consider myself probably a better footballer, but I suppose hurling is such a great game too. It's great to play hurling, so it's a kind of question I get asked a lot, and it's usually what I would answer is whichever I'm playing the most at one time. So I'm considering playing more football at the moment, so I probably would say football, because it's just like, I suppose it's just trying to juggle the two for the last 20 years. It's whatever I was playing most at one time is the one I was really enjoying, so that's probably my best answer for you.
Aidan, and for our listeners out there as well, and I was watching another interview and podcast the other day from you, and you ply your trade, or I'm not sure if you still do it, but as a hurley maker. And during that, I was listening, you were on about the raw material for the, it's all changed, has it? Or actually, whatever you work with, whatever type of ash you work with, it's all changed in the last couple of years.
It has, but it's just the quality of the product, the quality of the ash is very hard to get, and Yeah, it's when you're like I was making Hurley's full time, and when you're getting your daughter in thousands of planks in quantities, and like when you're trying to fish through it and you're not getting the quality that you were hoping for, it all makes life very difficult. And just it's not a cheap product either, like, and it's not an easy thing to be able to make. So just with that combination of the material and the effort it takes to make them, it just kind of fizzled out from myself, even though demand was very high. I was very lucky that way. I made Hurleys for a lot of great players, and so people did want my Hurleys, but I just found it too difficult, because if you're making a Hurley for someone, you want your product to be reliable, and worst case scenario the Hurley could break in a first puck, which would be a disaster.
Aidan, you're a proud Corkman, and before I chat about your change of clubs and you coming down here, and are you disappointed with, I suppose, not say disappointed with Cork hurling management or players or likewise the football side of things, that we've always wished down here that Cork could be at the top of their game when we play them, because it always brought the best out of, these were the knockout days when you played, that you wanted Cork to be good, to be ready for when you go outside of Munster. Are you disappointed how the county has probably dropped its level in both football, I won't say hurling because they're there at the business end with the last couple of years, but is it disappointing for you as a player, because you probably have the biggest county in Ireland, and I suppose when we always talk about Cork, it's such a sporting county.
Yes. Yeah. Clearly, you'd want to. It is disappointing, and you know, I suppose when I was just fortunate just to get the tail end of that great Cork team that when we got over the line in 2010. But it didn't see. I suppose like the effort is still there. Like they still put in the same amount of effort. Like my brother's involved, my cousin's involved with the footballers, and I see the way they train and the amount of time they put into it, which is the same as we did. But just, I suppose, unfortunately, just the talent pool isn't really at that level, and I don't know what that's down to. From what I could see from outside looking in, it did look like the work was being done, like the effort was being made, and nothing really changed for regards the effort being made behind the scenes when under 16s, minors, 21s, or 20s, and under 17s. But the it was nothing, but just the talent pool didn't seem to come through. And then I suppose you had a case of a lot of good footballers were if they had the opportunity to go into the hurling, they were more persuaded to go to the hurling side, because it is a very attractive thing to be able to play hurling with Cork, because you can see yourself being from another county. If you're looking in, you see the Cork sport and hurling is absolutely massive, and the Cork sport and football wouldn't be at that level. So I suppose you go out, you want to play championship, and you want to go out in the big days where there's massive crowds cheering you on. And as a young person growing up, if you have the opportunity to go either one, you're automatically going to push towards the hurling, unfortunately, in Cork. And that's probably cost Cork with the progress, with the opportunity for Cork to progress in football. It's definitely hurt them. So yeah, what you were saying, yes, it is very disappointing. And like even this year, I felt like Cork and Kerry were great too. Like the first day especially was a great game. I thought Cork really put it up to them. Second day not so much. I thought it'd be closer, but they still have good battles. But Kerry's always that last 10 minutes of every, especially the last few years, the last 10 minutes is where Kerry have always kind of just kicked on and gotten over the line. But I know, as you said, Kerry is always great championship games, and just please God in the near future they can get back up to that level again and be competing for Ireland.
And it's interesting you say that, Aidan, because going back a couple of years, 2019, when we fell short in the replay, I think somebody was speaking to James McCarthy of Dublin after, and he was saying that Kerry were getting closer to Dublin all the time, and he was saying there was young players there and you must get it in your legs to finish out a game. And I suppose that's for the younger players of Cork, I suppose that's something they must get, and probably Kerry have already arrived at that. And that cues me up nicely in which you're now plying your trade with Ungaeltacht. First of all, in how difficult it was. I remember years ago I was asked would I go back west for a year. But somebody forgot that I was married and I had to stay in Tralee. But what it was is that I had to go back and live back west and see how their culture worked. It was somebody that was writing a book, but part of it was to get stronger than the language I'd have. And the other side, maybe I was put in with the O'Shea's and what have you. And I don't know, would I be very isolated for the year? And it was something that was offered, but I couldn't at the time. It was for a single man, Aidan. But to make a long story short, how difficult, and that's the point I get into, how difficult was it for the language barrier? Because I know the likes of, I know Dara O'Kaneda very well. They love their language. They liked when you go inside the border, back outside Dingle, they want to speak the Irish language. Did you find that difficult?
Yeah, no, it is difficult. I won't lie, but it really makes me like I'd kind of be disappointed in myself that I regret not putting more time into Irish growing up, because I realised in Kentork it wasn't a big thing at all. Irish wasn't pushed on us. We weren't forced to talk it, and that's just the way we grew up. And when you come back here, you just see how passionate they are about it, and it's our own language. And you know, it's just unfortunate that it's not more popular around the country, that it's like, you know, you get pockets of it, but not many people actually talk it day in and day out. So I'm absolutely delighted for my son MacDara to be, he does talk English to me still, but he talks Irish to there and then. So he's able to swap, he just automatically changes between the two of us, which is brilliant for him as well, like that he's able to talk both. And he's only 3 years of age, but he's able to talk Irish and English, which is excellent. And John's just delighted that he's been able to get the experience that I wasn't able to get, unfortunately, just from the where I was from. But
Aidan, has your view changed on that, so that there's a new realise not everyone gets the opportunity that you do, you know, to be back west, from coming from, like you say, from where Irish wouldn't be your first language?
Yeah.
Have you a better appreciation of the people that speak the language, and you know,
oh, 100%. Like you said,
yeah, 100%, that's very interesting.
It's a great thing, like. And I am trying to learn very slowly, unfortunately. I'm trying to figure out different avenues on how to learn. I definitely have to get a few classes now over the winter and definitely pick it up, because it is like, you would feel uncomfortable in the dressing room or in the team meeting or at halftime and stuff when it's in Irish, because I'd have to kind of have to go into my own shell really and kind of motivate myself or really kind of focus on my own thing, because I just wouldn't know. They're so comfortable in talking, yes, they talk absolutely. So fast.
Yeah.
I'd even trying to grasp it is I find it a bit difficult, but you know, it's great. I know, in fairness, they've been very accommodating to me. They do bring in a small bit more English, just for especially if I'm part of the conversation, regards if it's a situation around midfield or whatever, or kickouts and stuff like that. So no, they have been very accommodating, but I don't want them to bring in more English for me. I want me to learn the Irish for them. So
that's brilliant. That's a brilliant point. That leads me on now to the standard of football. You've won an intermediate championship, which is short of senior, now that you are going senior, and plus you're coming from a junior premier. The Kerry have been very dominant when they go outside a Munster. What's your thoughts on the standard of football, as we call it, intermediate in Kerry, compared to where?
Yeah,
in Cork?
It's a very extremely high standard. I think the intermediate standard in Kerry is nearly senior standard. So it'd be senior standard in Cork, in my opinion. Say in Cork, they have two senior grades, they have senior and senior A. Like, definitely the intermediate standard in Cork or in Kerry would be senior A standard in Cork. The quality is frightening. Even at the start of the year, the intermediate competition, you actually really couldn't call a winner. You couldn't really say who was the best. There was no team that really stood out that could really win it. You know, I thought it was a very open championship, and a brilliant championship to be in. Yeah, it's a brilliant championship to be involved in, because every day you go out, you really have to be on your A game. And thankfully, we were this year. It just all seemed to fall into place for us, thankfully. And it was extremely enjoyable. Every day you went out, you really felt it the next day. and I'm doing construction now back in Dingle. So I was fairly cracked there a few Mondays and stuff after a championship game.
You're probably putting a few on the flags out around Dingle.
No, I won't upset him.
Would you stay on the line with us? We just want to take a quick break and you'll be back with us again. Thank you, Aidan.
No problem.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community, and warm hospitality under one roof.
You're very welcome back to Terrace Talk, and I have Aidan Walsh, the former Cork footballer, stroke hurler, who's now plying his trade with Ungaeltacht back in the west of Kerry. And before I go back to Aidan on the phone, I still have John Kennedy and Liam Brosnan with us here in studio. One or two messages coming through, Niamh, since we started that interview with Aidan.
Yeah, Dave was in touch and he says, love listening to Aidan Walsh's interview. Very genuine and passionate and honest interview. So that came in from Dave.
Oh, that's cool. You're not blushing when you hear that now, Aidan. And I've two men here and we just went to the ad break there and they just said the honesty of this man and it came across so well and we're delighted to have you. Aidan, now they're trying to drive forward Ungaeltacht and can you tell me a bit, and I know there's a number of people involved in the management, but Daro Kinnaird, his love for the language, his love for the culture, his love for the Gaeltacht, I take it that's shining through and it's, I suppose, a mirror image of everyone involved back there.
Yes, yeah, 100%. Yeah, no doubt Dara has a huge aura. Like when he comes into the room, like, you know, he has a presence about him, and I'm just very, very lucky to be able to get the opportunity to work with him, because like his knowledge and just the way he plays the game, any bit of advice he give you, like you really tune into it and really take it on board. So yeah, no, he's extremely passionate and like even very lucky to be there for his team talks, or he'd be kind of one of the last people to talk to us before we go on the field. And Joe, the passion really comes out through him, and as you said, that the love for Gaeltacht is just through the roof. It's a pleasure to get the opportunity to work with him and work closely with him, and you know, like you could even see the emotion in him after the game last Sunday and Joe, it's just nice to be able to contribute something that he loves so much, you know. It's that we're able to win something and to get over the line for something that he's involved in, you know. So it makes it that much sweeter.
Before I, because I'm going to bring the two lads here as well that I have in studio. Aidan, your thoughts, there's a couple of things, as you know, weekend, and I met you actually in an early game this year when you were playing Ardfert in the County League, just briefly had a quick word with you. The new rules, Aidan, obviously, if you have fast movement inside line now, you can hurt a defence. But do you know what I noticed the weekend? And I actually saw, in the West Kerry game, West Kerry plays South Kerry, players are very conscious of the clock now. If they're playing against the wind, to hold possession, to deprive the opposition of getting the ball because of two-pointers. Would you agree on that?
Yes, yeah, 100%. Yeah, there's a lot of strategies and tactics are definitely have changed and are very, very much very important now in the game. So, like, it's a lot of strategy goes on, all right, for sure. Like, even our game against Fossa, we in the second half, we played against the wind, we knew what we had to do, like, regards holding the ball around and then just wait for the opportunities, like, so. And like even the time clock at the end, like try hold on to the ball and just work it around, and try, and then you know in your mind, like you don't, it's not the discretion of the ref, and all them things, like it's just it creates different opportunities and different ways of playing the game. So yeah, it is definitely a big part.
And for a player that came from the old game, for want of a better word, are you enjoying? And I know you're enjoying being involved with the Gaeltacht, but are you enjoying the game with the current, I suppose?
Very much so. I suppose the only thing I love the way the keeper has to kick out the ball. No, but I think a lot of the time, if you actually watch it, there'll be about 10 fellas jumping up for the ball, so there's not that much clean catching either. You really need to be on the breaks, and I think the game has gone to a stage now, the team that wins the most breaks is usually the team that wins the game. So I just noticed that it's so when a team knows you're going to be kicking it long, it's nearly very obvious which side the keeper is going to kick it. Correct. To, so everyone kind of goes to one side or either side or whatever, and everyone's jumping up for the ball, and it just makes it a pure melee, like a pure battle then, which is nice too. Like, it's nice to be able to throw your weight around and flick into fellas and stuff like that. So it's great, it's been a huge benefit to the game, and everyone could see that.
That's nice. I have Liam Brosnan here. I'm sure you have a question for Aidan Walsh, the former Cork star.
Yeah, Aidan, congratulations on that intermediate medal. It's a nice medal, and it's a hard medal to hold, so put it up there beside your All Ireland medal.
Yeah, I know.
Come here, and just your answer there on the standard. That was going to be my question to you. Was how do you find the standard in the club football in Kerry? But I suppose my next question for you, since Tim took my question, was to leave your own club. Was that a big decision for you?
Massive, yeah. And I've said it a few times now that I probably, looking back, I should have done it a year or two ago. Yeah. But I had a fierce ambition just to be, one of the big things I always wanted was Kentor to try and get senior, because when I started, we were junior. So I just had that ambition for Kentor to get up the levels and just be a part of it and be the great group of men that were involved. And it was very hard to pull myself away from it. And my father is manager of hurling, and he still is manager of hurling, and my brothers and my five cousins that play as well. So it's a very tight-knit group, and thankfully we were a very successful group as well. Like, last Sunday was my 7th county medal, so I've been very lucky that I've achieved a lot with my club. And it's nice to be able to, I suppose one of the most important things for me was when you start something, when you get a hold of something, when you have to leave it, you hope that you leave in a better place. So that was something that made it a bit easier for me to go, is that I know I left it in a better place than when I started. So that definitely helped. But it's still a very difficult decision. But I suppose at the end of the day, family has to come first, and MacDara and Darren now are the priority. And it's been a great. I've really enjoyed it, and I kind of, when I made the decision, I just threw my hat in and I went all in for it. And it's thankfully it's worked out so far. Touch wood.
And Aidan, when you have Kerry people saying that a Cork man is doing a good job, you're doing something right.
I put a lot of pressure on myself as well, because I knew coming down here that people would be like, he's finished, he doesn't have much to offer anymore. I kind of had to chip my shoulder.
There's a lot of clubs, if you decide to leave, there's a lot of clubs up my way that'll take you as well. I have John Kennedy as well, John, very well.
I do very
John,
well.
John, have you anything to ask?
Yeah, look, congrats again, Aidan. I met you on the pitch after. I suppose it showed what football means and about families. Darren and your young fella, like, and family around in the day. Liam asked you about Kentork. I know from speaking to the pride you had in it, but coming down, it was always going to be a big, it was a risk going into a club like the Gaeltacht. But you probably held your best performance of the year for the county final. But I think the way the Gaeltacht people have spoken about you, Aidan, since, and the effect you have on it, you were speaking about Derek Kinnaird and the lads, but the effect that you've had on the Gaeltacht club, it's a credit to you and to what you've done since you've come back there, and the way they've spoken about you so highly.
I appreciate that. Thank you, John. Yeah, no, they've been, honestly, they have been unbelievable with me. And I suppose through the championship there, I kind of had a few bad games or picked up a few injuries. So I knew going to the final that at the end of the day, the final is the day you really need to show up, or you really need to pull your socks up and give it your best. So no, I was just thankful that we got over the line and I was able to contribute as best I could. I suppose getting a bit older now, getting into the mid-30s, it doesn't get any easier. But it definitely makes it a lot easier when you have very good players, like they really are a top group. And John makes it that much more enjoyable when you see that talent around you, and you just, John makes life a lot easier. So no, I'm very fortunate to be they've taken me in, and I've just ran with it. And I said at the start of the year, I said, whatever you need me to do, I'll do. Whatever I have to do, for Gaeltacht to be successful, then I'll do whatever that is. So no, it's been going well so far, and please God, we'll have a long winter ahead, and we might get that opportunity to go up the steps of Croke Park at some stage, please God.
Aidan, a lot of I suppose Kerry people say now think they were planted from Cork down here to see what the secret of Kerry is, but I suppose everyone's seen, just finally just looking at the Kerry setup and Kerry's dominance, and we'll have to ask you, what did you think of Kerry winning the All-Ireland this year? You know, obviously there was one little hiccup along the way against Meath, but they took on Northern teams then and beat them well. Pretty impressive by Kerry, I take it?
Yes, yeah, no, in fairness, no, credit where credit's due. I do think that as you referred to there, it was a bit of a hiccup against Meath, but I think it was probably the best thing that ever happened to them. Because it kind of, I've looked back through the years, any year Kerry win the All-Ireland, they always kind of have that little hiccup at a certain point of the year that kind of just kind of triggers them and gets them, and they kind of say we have to go now. So I just think they really stepped it up, and it's kind of, I think their attitude is big. The big thing I see with them, if you tell them they can't do it, they'll say, right, I'll show you, I can do it, kind of thing. You know? So they had that chip on their shoulder, and a lot of questions were being asked of them. And in fairness, they answered every question that was thrown at them. And I don't think anyone, like outside of Kerry, most people were going for Donegal. And in fairness, the way they showed up that day, I was at the game, and it was lovely to watch it just as a neutral and be there to just see what was happening in the field. But yeah, it was impressive, to be fair, and it's hard for me to say that, but I, as I say, credit where credit's due. It was but you know, it's, I suppose, like that they have and with Jack O'Connor staying on, he wouldn't have stayed on if he didn't think they were capable of winning other All-Irelands. So like they have to see if they can back it up now and go again for next year.
Yeah, I think we have a number of texts in for you, Aidan, wishing you very well. And 15 years ago yesterday, Aidan lifted Sam, an amazing dual player, still going strong. And I could read many more. I could keep you on for an hour, Aidan. You're so so interesting. Hopefully you'll be back with us again. And I wish you very best. And best luck to all on Gaeltacht and you going forward. And I look forward to chatting to you at one of those games.
That's
the great Aidan Walsh of Cork, now plying his trade with Uncle Gaeltacht. I'll be killed by my producer because I haven't gone to an ad break, but that man was very interesting. We'll take the next ad break of the evening.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
You're very welcome back to Terrace Talk, and great credit to Aidan Walsh there, getting lots of messages through. The delight to listen to that interview and the honesty of the man, and how, I suppose, the difficult. There's no barrier for him in the football field, but trying to learn our native language, and he's got such a huge respect for it now, living back on the Gaeltacht. Well done, Aidan, if you're listening to us. Now, we change disciplines to the States, because the first NFL regular season game in Dublin is coming up on the 28th of September, Derek. Expecting a crowd of 75,000, and the Steelers, the opponents will be Minnesota Vikings. And I'm delighted to have a former star. Well, he's still a star because he's a star in the media now, and that's Max Starks. Welcome to Terrace Talk, Max.
Thank you very much for having me. And I'm standing right here in College Square, and this has been beautiful. The hospitality has been awesome.
Awesome. Sure, we're delighted to have you. We'll call it the mother country. Tell me about the story. Tell me your own story. Max, our researcher today was giving me facts about you. You were drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2004 in the NFL draft. But yeah, when I look further down then, I was saying, we're going to be speaking to a mighty big man tonight. You're one of probably the biggest players to play in the NFL.
Yeah, yes, you're right. I stand at 6'8". And I was 340 pounds when I played. So one of the largest back when I played. There's a couple of guys a little bit taller and a couple of guys that are shorter, a little bit wider. But I think the combination of both, I was one of very few.
And I tell you, there's nothing wrong with your shoe size, size 19.
Yes. Size 19 shoe. And it's been, you know, it was tough growing up. But now, luckily, there's more large humans. So I find shoes a little bit easier now that I'm older.
We have this guy on Radio Kerry with us. He's Ambrose O'Donovan, a great character. He was a captain of a team, of a Kerry team that went back in 84. And I was talking today, I said, I have a big man on the radio tonight. I'd be chatting to him. And he said to me, well, he's the American version of Ambrose O'Donovan. That's the way he described it. So, tell me about your own appearances, Max. You appeared in 125 games.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 125 games, played in two Super Bowls, won two of those Super Bowls in my time, spent 9 years with the Steelers, 10 years total in the NFL.
So, Max, what we're and we're here a lot. Have you met our own guy, Paddy Clifford? He's Paddy is the Kerry footballer. He's mad into American football. He plays Gaelic football like a quarterback. So all I'm saying, there's so many Irish people now and Irish sports people that follow the NFL. Do you realise that how big it is here in Ireland?
Well, I thought I knew, but then actually getting here on the actual island, I found out that I was sadly mistaken and I underscored it because it has been phenomenal. Just the recognition, the knowledge, and I was with Paddy right as soon as I touched down here in Killarney, and we got to walk down the street together and spend some time together. And I gave him one of my jerseys because I was like, listen, from one champion to another, since current reigning All-Ireland champion team in Gaelic football, I had to make sure that he was taken care of, and he was a great host for me. So it was great seeing him and knowing that he's a legend out here.
Max, would you agree that different sport and disciplines can learn from one another, be it the rules, be it what you can implement in a game?
I would absolutely agree. I think sports is one of those things that no matter what the sport is, that athleticism, the agility, the knowledge, the grit, the tenacity, the teamwork are all things that carry over. And I feel like they even carry over into life and work and your work life, learning how to work with different people from different backgrounds and learn how to find those common goals and build together towards winning a common goal in a championship. So I think a lot of that transfers over, especially when you look at a sport like rugby, like Gaelic football. Even hurling, I was actually practicing with some lads a little bit earlier and learning that sport. But there's so many skills and necessity, especially when you're thinking about youth and growing up. I think it's really important for kids to get involved with sport and to also just try a multitude of sports and figure out what they love.
Could you explain to our listeners the amount of detail that goes into coaching in NFL? I take it the backroom teams are absolutely huge.
Yes. So in the sport of football, especially, skill and technique are usually the key things because there's so many different positions that play on the field. You know, I was an offensive lineman, so our job, we had a lot of different blocking. And our job, we didn't get to touch the ball that often. So to learn how to move without a ball, to work on a snap count, to work in coordination with each other is one thing. And then the other thing that we also did when you're playing against a defense, that recognition of knowing what the other team is doing, because there's a lot of different body types, a lot of body sizes, and a lot of different skill movements. So understanding how to move, it's like a really complicated dance choreography with physical violence, you know. So you have that kind of delicate balance of the elegance of footwork, teamwork, communication, as well as the physical nature of the sport.
You made one interesting point there, that you work as hard without the ball as you have it. Is that something that each player has to do?
Yes. So each player, no matter their skill set, the ability to learn, communicate, and the movement and speed are all a common denominator. But then it breaks down into sides of the ball. So you have one group that's just strictly defense, another side that comes out that's strictly offense, and the position groups within each of those. There's at least four units that work within each side of those balls. So you're talking about eight different units total on a team, and then that's before we even include a dedicated kicker plus a dedicated punter and a dedicated long snapper. So when teams usually are assembled, 25 guys play defense, 25 guys play offense, and then three guys are kickers. That's how we get to a 53-man roster in the current professional league in the NFL.
And that's interesting, well, because in recent years, the dedicated kickers and punters There's a few gone over from this side of the woods. There's a few from Ireland playing in college.
Yes. We had a couple of them. Obviously, Doug Whalen being one of those most notable guys. But also, the NFL has created a program and a partnership called the International Player Pathway, where we go into countries like Ireland, like the UK, like Germany, Australia, New Zealand, Nigeria, and all these different countries, and we bring those players to the UK, to our NFL UK facilities, and we start teaching them skills, and we bring them over stateside. We give them what we call a combine or an exhibition opportunity to show their skill set, and then from there, teams actually have the opportunity to then take those players and bring them on their team, what we call an international exemption. They get to actually play in the NFL for 2 years, and then from there, the team can opt to sign that player, or they can go sign elsewhere within the league and actually continue their career. We had a kid by the name of Julius Welshaw that actually came over from Germany, and he was on our team for the last 2 years, and now he's playing in the NFL elsewhere. But those are like some of the examples of just the different ways that the NFL is trying to engage and create this global sport, because now it's an international sport that's now recognized by the Olympics with the flag side of it. So just continue to cultivate and grow the sport everywhere we can.
Absolutely brilliant. This is the first ever regular season NFL game going to be in Ireland, but there was an exhibition game in 1997.
Yes, there was. So funny little fact here I want to tell you. So we played that game in 1997 on July 27th. And then Kerry actually won the All-Ireland Championship on September 28th, that same year, 1997.
That's correct.
Well, guess what happened July 27th of this year?
Kerry wins.
And when do we play? September 28th.
Excellent.
For our very next game. So I'm just saying that if history is a teacher of us, I think that brings good things when Kerry wins championships and the Steelers come to town. We hope that that's also a victory on our end as well.
And Max, there's a huge Irish connection as well. The Honours, the Rooney family has Irish roots.
Yes. So the Rooney family, originally from the Newry area out here in Ireland, immigrated in 1840 over to Pittsburgh. And then, of course, the late, we called him the chief, Art Rooney Sr., founded the football club in Pittsburgh in 1933. And the family has had ties here ever since. And, of course, the late Dan Rooney, who was ambassador, U.S. ambassador to Ireland from 2009 to 2012, resided over here. And he made it a point to visit all 32 counties in Ireland. Wow. And that dedication and just that love, he also helped create the Ireland Fund, which is still going now to help individuals all around the world and learn about Irish culture and Ireland in general. And they do a lot to support and fund lads coming over to the States as well and learning in America. So I think when you think about just those connections and the cultural ties, and the family still has property here and still has family here in Ireland, and that synergy, we wanted to make sure that when we did get the first regular season game here, that we continue those traditions that the Rooneys started all the way back, you know, last century, and create that today. And that's why we want to make sure we hit at least all four corners. We can't get to all 32 counties like Ambassador Rooney did, but we can at least make sure that we hit the east, we hit the south and north and the west of Ireland. And that's hence why we're down here in Killarney. We'll continue tomorrow. We'll go up to Galway, Sligo, Derry, and end in Belfast with a football camp before we descend back to Dublin, and just really spreading American football and also the NFL's continued efforts to continue to support American football in foreign countries and foster youth and understanding this game that we love.
And that global market program, is there a huge initiative in the States for that? That you want, you mentioned those countries, but you must get some sort of change back as well. Can you see this working?
I can absolutely see this working. So the GMP program, or the Global Marketing Partnership, that was created about 4 years ago by the NFL, it allowed all 32 teams to have three countries that they could go and market and continue to grow their partnership relationships with. So the Steelers, in fact, we received Ireland as an opportunity. Of course, Mr. Art Rooney II pushed for his home country to be a part of our organization, but as well as Mexico and Germany are the three countries that we're allowed to market. And I know the Green Bay Packers are allowed to market here as well, and I believe another team. But for us, this is more of a homecoming. This is more of a deeper connection for us and not just a country that's a target. This means something to the Steelers organization. It's deeply rooted within the organizational values. When you think about just love, passion, support, and just that overall just general togetherness, I think that's the same thing. When I look at a lot of the Irish values, it translates into what I remember as being a Pittsburgh Steeler and the familial atmosphere and the kindness and the hospitality that the Rooneys extended to all of us. And that comes through in this organization.
And Max, ahead of the game, the Steelers will roll out a blockbuster week of black and gold celebration.
Yes. So we have a lot of events set up. The Terrible Towel Tour, which will be going around. We started today and we'll go through Thursday. Like I said, end in Belfast and then back into Dublin. We'll have 3 days of tailgates, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Dublin in the Temple Bar area. That'll be set up for fans to engage. We have a Steelers Pro Shop that will actually be in Dublin and established throughout the entire season as well, so fans can go get their merchandise from the team and show their support. And then, of course, we have the game culminating on Sunday at Croke Park, a very historic site, a humongous stadium to bring this game of football for the first time in a regular season for the NFL. It's a tremendous and momentous occasion.
Yeah, really looking forward to that right across the country. I suppose there's no chance of a couple of tickets being available, Max?
I mean, I believe they are for me. My family took all mine.
Yeah. A couple of special guests.
Yeah, a couple of special VIPs. Well, you know what? I think I might know some people. I think a guy by the name of Art Rooney II will be here. We could probably talk to him to see if he could squeeze a couple extra seats. I mean, there's 75,000 available in the stadium, right?
Max,
so we can find space for two more.
Max, I'm going to save you your phone number in favorites on my phone for the next. It's absolutely brilliant having you on tonight. We probably broke a record here on our own radio station tonight. You're probably the biggest man we've ever, and I mean that in a nice way. The tallest, 6'8", 340. Are you still carrying those 340 pounds?
Yeah, still carrying them. You can't seem to lose them yet.
Yeah, absolutely. It was lovely having you, and the very best of luck going forward. And I tell you, it's a big project, but I'm sure it's going places, because I know from speaking to people that it's very popular in this country here.
Yeah, well, it's my first visit, but it definitely won't be my last, and I look forward to coming back here and celebrating. Hopefully the Steelers get to come back for many years.
And I look forward to sitting beside you on the 28th of September.
There we go. I'll save a spot.
great stuff, Max, and the very best of luck. Thanks for coming on Terrace Talk this evening.
No, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
We go to that's Max, of course, Starks, former NFL player, and a big game coming up on the 28th of September in Croke Park. We take the next break of the evening.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel Tralee.
You're very welcome back to our last segment of Terrace Talk. This 2 hours just flew by, and it was great to have the NFL player there, and before him, Aidan Walsh, and of course before that, the two legends, John Kennedy and Liam Brosnan. But now we're changing codes again, changing disciplines. I have Rita McCarthy on Terrace Talk, and of course chair of badminton in Kerry. Good evening, Rita.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Oh, another American accent.
Yeah, another American. But
it's the
you're
night.
Inundated,
a great right. night. But living here in the kingdom now, Rita.
And yeah, my family's from here as well, so I've been here for a while.
You're one of our own. Rita, tell me about badminton in Kerry. A number of clubs involved in Kerry, and I take it it's growing all the time.
Yeah, it's growing. It's actually, badminton has been around us since the 1930s. So we're trying to grow the membership again. So we're doing this initiative, Give Badminton a Go. So we're going to have an open week between September 29th and October 3rd, where all the clubs across Kerry are going to have an open night where you can come, try out the sport for free, bring a friend, have a bit of a laugh. You don't need anything. If you don't have a racket, we'll provide it for you.
And that's going to happen. Well, these clubs will provide that. And what sort of joy can you get out of playing? Honestly, I'll be the first one to admit I wouldn't know a whole pile about the game. I know a few people that are involved with years. But what sort of enjoyment can you get out of the game?
Oh, it's great enjoyment because it has two natures to it. It has a competitive aspect and it also has a social aspect. So, like, the game of badminton, you know, it's great agility. You have football players playing it. You have all sports playing it for the winter months. And, you know, it's one of the fastest racket sports. Like, you have professional players that can actually have a smash of over 300 miles per hour. And I don't think people are aware of that. It's great and for your cardiovascular health, your cognitive health. And it also is really great for your mental health. But on top of that, there's also a social aspect of it. So if you don't really want to play competitively, you can also come and have a bit of a laugh. Some people just come and they end up talking on the side of the court. So you can make it as competitive or non-competitive as you want to. And it's for all age groups.
And that's what I was going to, you cued me up nicely, Rita. It's there's some sports and we know that people can participate because, I'm not saying it's their ages, but it's difficult for, but you, I see in research there it was 16 to 70. And what it does, it keeps up a level of fitness as well.
Yeah, it really does. And it keeps people being agile even longer into life. So badminton is one of the few sports that you can play and make represent your county and represent your province and go all the way to the All-Ireland in your actual own grade level, which is brilliant.
And I see in also that studies show that people who play racket sports live longer. We'll have everyone in Kerry tomorrow going out buying rackets.
Oh, I'd love that. It'd be great that the county's level, we just want people to come down. And it was great. You know, I was one of those people that when I moved over here permanently, you know, I wanted to make my own friends outside of my family and went down. The badminton community is so warm and welcoming. And you can get there, you can get started. And, you know, you make friends, lifetime friends in it, which is great. And also, in addition to that, many couples have been formed on the badminton court. So you never know, you might meet your future partner too.
And that's the social aspect of it, Reid, and we're probably losing a lot of it with social media, people living on their phones nowadays. That it is a sport if you're out probably running on your own on the road, but you're part of a club. That's what makes the social aspect a lot better when you're with other people and you could go in and with people at the same level, I take it.
Yes, exactly. So you have different age groups mixing together, but then there's also, over the last couple of years, a master circuit that's gotten very popular where you can play all over 40s, over 45, over 50. So you can play with your own age group, but you can also play, you know, on your own level throughout age groups. And it's great for integrating some of the juveniles, like the 16-year-olds, with some of the older people as well. And it brings life into the older people and it brings maturity into the younger ones.
And finally, it starts on Monday, the 29th of September, and it ends on Friday. If you missed out on that, how can you join a badminton club?
You can still come and play because, you know what, just call up one of the clubs. We have a new website that's going to be starting to be published this week. We have Facebook pages, you know, just contact any of the clubs or you can contact Kerry Badminton and we will set you up. And, you know, the clubs will be more than welcome to have you come down and give it a try. You don't have to join right away, but come down and try it. Bring a friend and you might fall in love with a sport you never thought you'd wanted to play before.
Absolutely brilliant, Rita. The very best of luck with it. And I hope the numbers will increase and we look forward to chatting to you again. Thanks for coming on Terrace Talk this evening.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Thanks a million. And well, all our contributors tonight, and they've stayed with us. They're still watching, both John Kennedy and Liam Brosnan. Brilliant first hour. We discussed our club championship, our county championship. Of course, we had Aidan Walsh, then the honesty, and it was brilliant, captivating for our listeners as well. And likewise, speaking to Max on the American football, the NFL, and well, just said goodbye there to Rita. And thanks to you as well, the listeners tonight, for contributing your messages sent. And special producer as well out there, Niamh Daly. She was reading the comments tonight. Brilliant producer, and long live Niamh, we're saying. And coming up next, well, who have we? The very best of Mary Conroy, Toksus. Until next time, this is Tim Minehan saying goodbye.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community, and warm hospitality under one roof.